Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today's the Feast of St. Thomas, the Doubting Thomas. St. Gregory the Great said this about Thomas: when Jesus next appeared, it was with a special invitation to Thomas. Probe the marks of the nails, press your hands into my side. Face to face with this fleshly testimony, Thomas exclaimed, "My Lord and my God." God's mercy acted in this wonderful way, so that through this doubting apostle touching the wounds in his master's body, our own wounds of incredulity may be healed. Our own wounds of disbelief, of unbelief, of rejection even of the gospel, that God's grace working through St. Thomas can also work in us. It's fine to say, "Lord, my faith is weak, strengthen it. Lord, help my faith to increase, show me how, teach me." Brothers and sisters, we need our faith to be strong, especially in this time in which we live. Ask St. Thomas, the doubting Thomas. He speaks for so many of us. "Unless I can put my hands," remember, "unless I can put my hands in these wounds, I will not believe." And God's mercy allowed him. God understood his doubt. And God revealed himself to Thomas and says, "Come, put your hand into the wounds in my body. Come." Brothers and sisters, he longs for us to draw near to him, especially when we're doubting. Don't say that disqualifies you. That just qualifies you for the mercy of God. It actually qualifies you. Come to him and say, "Lord, have mercy on me. I have so many doubts, so much confusion. Have mercy on me." Keep praying that way. God will answer that prayer. Let's take a look now at the first reading, the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. "Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners. You are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God. You are members. You who are baptized and confirmed are members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." That's what God is doing in us, brothers and sisters, by the power of the Holy Spirit. The gifts given to us are intended to bear fruit in our lives. They really are. They're intended to bear fruit. God wants you to experience the fruit of what he did for you in dying on the cross, that he brought you the possibility of life eternal. And he wants to gift you now so you can bring many others to that same understanding, so that your faith and your hope and your love increase. So many people go around saying, "Oh, well, yeah, I don't know what I believe. I don't know if I believe." Well, my goodness, if you wanted something on this earth, if you wanted a new smartphone or something, you'd be looking around all over for it and trying to figure out how you could pay for it. If there's something you want, you really go after it. Brothers and sisters, these are eternal gifts, and they're there for us. But ask the Lord, activate these gifts. "I want to grow in faith. I want to grow in hope. I want to grow in love. I want to become a true Christian. I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ." Well, how are we going to do that unless we engage with our mind, our heart, our will, our spirit, the truths of what God teaches us? So read, pray, ask God. He will do it for you. Responsorial Psalm 117, go out to all the world and tell the good news. That's the call on all of us. Are you? Are you telling the good news, not just by words, by thoughts, by deeds? Are you sharing the gospel by being kind to the poor, clothing the naked? Are you willing? I've been advertising my little booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. It's one of those booklets that has sold the least. It might be the content, but I think it's the word repentance. The joy repentance brings. Focus on the joy. You focus on repentance and everybody wants to pull away from it. But it brings a joy, brothers and sisters, that's beyond anything you've ever known. It really does. God has mercy on us and forgives us our sins, and that leads us even to an intimacy with God, if we allow it. God never forces himself on us, but he draws us. It'll fulfill some of the deepest desires of your heart, really. Really, the joy, you can't articulate the joy you begin to experience. But we've all got to be willing to take the steps. And if you haven't read my book, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, either call our 800 number 1-800-282-4789 or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, renewalministries.net/FFJ, and you can get a free booklet that way. But for heaven's sakes, brothers and sisters, we say, oh, life's so hard. Yes, there are many things that are hard, but God compensates by giving us himself. And that joy, what does Scripture tell us? That joy, when we see the Lord, that joy no one will take from us, ever. This is a step. Repentance is a step to union with God. Embrace it. Love it. Long for it. Don't be afraid of it. You'll be set free. And the joy that comes, no one will take from you. Let's take a look now at the gospel for today, chapter 20. Verses 24 to 29. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Bring your hand, put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Look at God's kindness to Thomas. He could have gotten angry, but he didn't. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." You and I haven't seen Jesus in the flesh. You and I did not with our earthly eyes see the wounds in his side. But blessed are those, says Jesus, who have not seen and have believed. There is a book by Robert Wilkins called The First 1,000 Years, which is a global history of Christianity. And he speaks of the Apostle Thomas. This is what he writes. "Thomas the Apostle brought the gospel to the subcontinent already in the first century." Now remember, he's the one who really doubted. For centuries, the story of the journey and adventures has been told in song and verse by Indian Christians, and to this day, it enjoys a kind of canonical status. The tale of Thomas' journey to India is found in an ancient Syriac document called the Acts of Thomas, written in the 3rd or 4th century. According to this work, after the ascension of Jesus, the apostles drew lots to see who would go to which part of the world to preach the gospel. Now, this is according to that particular book. India fell to Thomas, but Thomas said he did not know the language of the people living there, and he refused to go. But Jesus appeared to him in a dream and told him to make the journey. Soon afterward, Thomas met a wealthy merchant from India with orders from a king in northwestern India and Afghanistan to bring back skilled architects and builders to construct a royal palace. Thomas agreed, and when he arrived, the king provided money to build the palace. But when Thomas learned of the poverty of the people in India, he used the king's money to serve their needs. Not a prudent decision. On the king's return, Thomas explained that he had spent the money, instead of building the palace, to heal the sick, drive out demons, and teach the people about the true God. Understandably, the king was outraged, but Thomas was rescued from the king's wrath when his deceased brother appeared to him in a dream to say that he saw a copy of that palace in heaven. Soon afterward, the king decided to become a Christian. The people followed and were anointed with oil and baptized, and Thomas celebrated the Eucharist. He then went on a journey to other places in India. So this is a book called A Global History of Christianity, the First 1,000 Years. It's not infallible teaching, but it's interesting. It's interesting. Thomas, who didn't believe, Thomas, who had a hard time believing, Thomas endured a great deal for the sake of the gospel. Whatever his stories were, he endured a great deal for the sake of the gospel, and so can we. Our faith may be weak, but if we ask God, if we're honest with God as Thomas was, I don't believe, and I won't believe until I can put my hands in his side. And Jesus understood, and he heard him, and he answered him. God wants to do, brothers and sisters, so much more for us than we understand, and he won't do them exactly the way he did them for Thomas. That's not the point. The point is that when we're in need of greater faith, and when we're honest about it before the Lord, when we ask him to help us, he will. Ask St. Thomas to pray for you. Don't be afraid. Don't be humiliated by your doubts and by your fears. Just be honest with God. Ask St. Thomas to walk by your side. And I can almost guarantee your faith will grow. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.